All right, good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Sean Harris. Welcome to one of the shows or one of the programs on the News and Focus section. I'm looking at a commentary this morning from Lifeway. Poll: Pastors Oppose Evolution Split on Earth's Age. Title again is Pastors Oppose Evolution Split on Earth's Age. It's written by David Roach on Monday, January 9th, 2012, coming to us out of Asheville, Tennessee. Pastors overwhelmingly believe that God did not use evolution to create humans and think Adam and Eve were literal people, according to a recent survey. Then if you scroll down to the bottom of the article, they've got some great graphs that we can take a look at. Let me describe them to you. Kind of picture a PowerPoint slide, and you've got an apple on the left-hand side. I guess the apple is the idea of the fruit that Adam and Eve did eat. May I remind you, by the way, that we don't know that it was an apple tree. There's nothing in the Word of God that tells us it was an apple tree. Among Protestant pastors, I believe Adam and Eve were literal people. Among Protestant pastors, I believe Adam and Eve were literal people. Strongly disagree, 11%. Somewhat disagree, 6%. Somewhat agree, 8%. Strongly agree, 74%. Now that's a good thing. Strongly agree, 74%. That is a good thing. See, what is the big deal, Pastor Sean, about losing Adam and Eve? And what is going on with this? In fact, Sunday night, after speaking about creationism and the importance of believing that God spoke the earth into existence from Hebrews chapter number 11, I had a church member ask me and say, why doesn't everyone believe that? What's the big deal? Well, the central controversy is, did Adam and Eve possess a gene pool sufficient to produce the variety of human beings that are on the planet today? Is it possible that one male and one female would produce a gene pool sufficient to produce the variety that we have alive today? Now, the central issue that I want you to think about this morning, or any time that you're listening to this, I'm speaking to you in the morning. It is 8:51 this morning. I'm in my study. I ask you this question. If we cannot trust the Bible on Adam and Eve, what do we lose? Well, some people think we lose just Genesis. Well, that's not true. The fact of the matter is we lose Paul. And if we lose the Apostle Paul and the authenticity of what he writes, then we lose credibility in 13 of the books of the New Testament. So nearly half of the books of the New Testament. Moreover, we lose the origin of sin. If Adam and Eve were not literal people, then the question becomes, when did sin enter the world, and when did death pass upon all human beings? Or, because Adam and Eve were not real people, then maybe death has not passed upon all people. And if that's the case, then everything about the need for the gospel is now a moot point. And so it is thrilling to find that 74% of the Protestant pastors still believe that Adam and Eve were literal people. What is discouraging is the fact that the young people do not believe that Adam and Eve were literal people. And Barna and Gallup and numerous other polls show that young people are struggling with the Genesis account of creation, that the preaching of evolution has impacted their worldview to the point that they deny the veracity of Scripture. All right, what is the issue there? It's apparent to me that what's happening here is that pastors are not teaching their people, most specifically young people, the implications of denying the Genesis account of creation. And so I would admonish, again, I would admonish all Sunday school teachers, anyone who teaches young people, anyone who works at a Christian school and has the freedom to teach creationism, to do a better job and to show the secondary effects of denying the literal interpretation of Adam and Eve. Moreover, not only do we lose just Paul, we also lose Luke. I say we lose Luke because Luke gives us the genealogy of Christ beginning in chapter number 3 and working our way through the end of the chapter. And Luke concludes that Christ is a descendant of the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So if Adam was not a real man on the planet, created by God as the first created being, then Luke cannot be trusted. And let me remind you that Luke wrote Luke and Acts, or I should say more accurately, more chapters in the New Testament than anyone else. And let me remind you that what Luke actually writes in the beginning of Luke, now this is Luke that wrote Luke and Acts, more chapters than any other person in the New Testament. So now I take Luke and Paul, and I've basically lost my New Testament. Luke writes, "Inasmuch as many has undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered to them, it seemed good to me also, having all things closely for some time in the past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught." So if I cannot trust Luke to provide an accurate genealogy of Christ, then I cannot trust Luke to provide an accurate narrative. And if I do not have an accurate narrative in Luke, and if I don't have an accurate narrative in Acts, and if I lose 13 books because Paul cannot be trusted concerning Adam, then basically my entire New Testament is gone. It's gone. For all practical purposes. And so I find it disconcerting, troubling, problematic that the same pastors who believe in a literal Adam and Eve struggle with the age of the earth. They struggle with the age of the earth. And I want to explain to you why we believe that the earth is 6,000-7,000 years old, maybe 8, but we certainly do not believe that the earth is 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 years old. We do not believe that in any shape or form. And the reason we do not believe that is because of the genealogies. The genealogies are that portion of the scripture that is just not preached. And I'm guilty of it. And the reason I'm guilty of it is because I can't pronounce the words. And it's embarrassing not to be able to pronounce words well. And some of these words are incredible. Or some of these names are incredible. And I am just terrible at pronouncing things well. I just don't do a good job in that area. Maybe I need to go back and get some good phonics lessons all over again. But I am capable of looking down at it and reading it, and I do notice that in verse 23 of chapter number 3, I see the word Jesus. And I can go through with my pencil, and I can circle names, and I can trace these names all the way back through, and I will find myself finding names that I'm very familiar with, like Nathan and David and Jesse. You see, I find myself finding these names of historical people that I'm well aware existed, lived, and I know approximately how long ago they lived. We know approximately, with good firmness, when David was king of Israel. And so that gives us the ability to systematically move from, say, verse 23, where Jesus is mentioned, to verse 31, where David is mentioned. And then I see that it's very specific, David, the son of Jesse, and I know that Jesse is David's father, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Shelah, the son of Nahshon, and here I am embarrassing myself with my inability to get it right. And then I'm tracking down these names, and I'm looking at them. And I can count between, say, let's go with Jesse, son of Obed, and then I've got Boaz, and then I'm just going to count the names until I get another one that I'm very firm with. Here we go. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then I pick up the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, and then Reu, and then Peleg, Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, and then I pick up another name that I can't pronounce, Arphaxad, it's A-R-P-H-A-X-A-D, the son of Shem, the son of Noah. So what I see here is a clear gaping or gap or evidence of a generation, a generation, a generation, a generation. The son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam. So, if I am to understand that 74% of the pastors believe that Adam is a real person, then in order for the earth to be more than 6,000, 6,500, somewhere around there, years old, there must be names missing in this genealogy. Because Adam is the first created being. Now, that's unless you deny a 24-hour days. Now, if you turn to progressive creationism, and every day represents 1,000 years or whatever, then you have a new problem. And let me explain to you what the new problem is. The new problem is you have animals killing animals before the fall of man. You have suffering. You have animals destroying animals upon destroying animals, and that becomes problematic. You say, where does that become problematic? Well, we do not believe in the new heaven and the new earth that we will have to witness a lion ripping a lamb apart. In fact, what we believe is that lambs will lay down with lions. That this effect of the fall. I mean, we can't imagine a scenario whereby God wipes away all tears. There's no more grieving, suffering, and yet animals still rip apart animals. I can't imagine not crying in a glorious heaven when I see a lion rip apart a beautiful lamb. So that's not going to happen. So what I'm suggesting to you is that the suffering that we see and experience in this world is a result of the fall. But the fall did not occur until Adam was alive. And so if you have a scenario whereby you believe that before Adam there were thousands of years of existence, then you have to deal with how did these animals survive and what was life like on the planet for these huge periods of time when there was no suffering, and that becomes very problematic. That becomes very difficult. Moreover, you have to understand, you have to somehow deal with the issue of when is a day 24 hours and when is a day not 24 hours. especially when you're numbering days. And so these are the issues that we wrestle with when we deny a young earth. And the genealogies are the evidence for us that the earth is not 100,000 years old or 1 million years old or as ridiculous as billions and billions of years old. And I just thought it might be helpful for us to identify what is really a disconnect between a group of pastors who affirm the literalness of Adam, but then disagree, somewhat disagree or strongly disagree that the earth is approximately 6,000 years old. Because the same pastors that affirm the literal Adam believe that strongly disagree with the statement that I believe God used evolution to create people. And so those are two strong, good statements that we're thrilled with. It's a little bit more problematic, though, that they don't see the correlation between the first two statements and how the genealogies communicate to us the age of the earth. Because we know from the Genesis account the approximate number of years that these men like Adam and Enoch were living. It's given to us. And so from there, we can do some good backwards work and plug into about 6,000 years ago. There's a series of statistics in the article that are interesting. There's one here that sparked my attention. I want to bring it to your attention. Pastors with graduate degrees are more likely to strongly disagree that Adam and Eve were literal people than those with the highest level of education as a bachelor's, 16% versus 2%. And this is really indicative of where are they going to school. Because the number of conservative seminaries that still hold to the literalness of Adam and Eve and the young earth theories is decreasing. And this is exceptionally problematic. Normally, seminaries associated with university-type large schools are going to be your most liberal. So just be aware of that. So if the pastor attended a seminary that has a large four-year college, a university type, and the seminary is part of the university system, that will, in all indications, be the most liberal and the most progressive and the most secular of seminaries. And really, the heart of where a seminary is at with its understanding of the Word of God and its insistence upon the inerrancy of this text is going to be where do they stand on creationism? And then even more pointedly, how old do they think the earth is? If you can get that level of specificity from the statement of faith, you're going to get an indication of whether you're in a progressive, liberal, university, seminary, or whether you're in a conservative, evangelical, fundamental seminary. And so this really becomes the dividing line. Were Adam and Eve real people? Is the earth about 6,000 years old? Those two questions will give you a good sense of whether your preacher is a liberal or whether your preacher is an evangelical or a fundamentalist. And so I hope this was a helpful discussion. Send me any thoughts, emails that you might have. Email me at pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, at Berean. Berean BaptistChurch.org, or you can call and leave me a voicemail at 910-868-5156, and you have a great day.